Most of you know that I've had the privilege of sharing the work of pastoring this church with Eileen for the better part of 5 years, and the worst parts too. We've had a few of those in the past 5 years as well. Trust in the Lord, trust in our God with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God. God will make your paths straight. Eileen chose this proverb for our worship this morning as one of her life verses as well. It's special to lots of folks. This passage was one that helped to carry her through the grief of her father's sudden death when she was 37. A lesson in trust that she says she's still learning day by day. It's a well-known text, a timeless homage to wisdom. Let love and faithfulness and trust guide you. Wear them like a necklace. Inscribe them on the tablet of your heart. Side note, what operating system does that tablet run on? Mine probably still uses Jelly Bean. Blessed are those who find wisdom, the proverb goes on to say. Blessed are those who find understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can desire can compare with her. That's right, she, Lady Wisdom. That's the metaphor in the Hebrew original. You know, those ancient progressives always bringing gender into everything. There is nothing new under the sun. Anyway, what does it mean to trust God with all my heart? My mind quickly went to Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection, and her description of people who live life with wholeheartedness.
What is, what's wholeheartedness versus like half-heartedness? And how do you cultivate wholeheartedness, whatever that is?
I love that you ask. I love your question. What is wholeheartedness, and is the opposite of that half-heartedness? I never thought about what the opposite of wholeheartedness was when I came up with that concept for my work. I was just looking at the men and women who, despite the scarcity in our culture, despite the perfectionism, despite the pressure to hustle, these were men and women who woke up every day and said, you know what? I'm scared. I'm imperfect. I'm vulnerable. But that doesn't change the fact that I am worthy of love and belonging, and I'm brave. And so I said, that sounds like wholeheartedness to me. And you know, honestly,
where others approach life half-heartedly, wholehearted people have the courage to bring their full selves to the table, Brené says. To be fully aware of our imperfections and our vulnerability, and to show up anyway. What you feel, what you think about yourself, don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge it, make room for it, it's part of your story, but don't lean into that. Instead, lean into trust. Bring your full self to the table. Show up with your whole heart. There's a lot we could say about Eileen's time as pastor here at Wildwood, but to me, that wholeheartedness, showing up with her whole self, with courage and vulnerability, has been at the center of her work. This is supposed to be a sermon and not just a tribute, so I will give the classic 3 points. 3 gifts of wholeheartedness that Eileen has brought to Wildwood. First, the gift of presence. At the best of times, the work of pastoral care can draw on carefully cultivated skills, a posture of openness and welcome, the ability to read the body language of a person who's struggling, a warm smile, a kind word, knowing when to give a hug at just the right time, the art of compassionate listening. Eileen has practiced that kind of care through years of experience as pastor, chaplain, parent, and friend, and her skills in that area were quickly evident when she joined our church in 2019. But then came 2020. When COVID came, all that training and experience went out the window. How do you pastor when you can't see your people? When they can't come to you? When you know that they're afraid and isolated and struggling, but you can't be there for them? You can't give them a hug. You have to translate body language through pixels on a screen. How do you pastor when all you have to offer, literally, is thoughts and prayers? Eileen couldn't fix things during the pandemic, obviously. None of us could. But what she did was what she could. Phone calls, emails, texts, video chats, prayers and more prayers, paying attention to the needs in various households, checking in with people that we haven't seen in a while, socially distanced visits when that became possible. None of us as pastors trained in pandemic care. We all did those things awkwardly at best. And Eileen showed up anyway, found ways to connect with people, found ways to be present and to remind us all of God's presence too. Small things, perhaps, in the face of global tragedy, but things that mattered. I know that I was grateful for her presence, grateful to have a partner as I struggled with my own insufficiency. Eileen was quick to offer encouragement and perspective, to share her own struggles and fears, and to listen to mine. Skill and effectiveness are important, and Eileen, we have appreciated your expertise and your thoughtfulness, and we will also remember the gift of showing up itself, whether or not you knew what to do or say, the gift of faithful presence. Another gift of wholeheartedness is the gift of sincerity, good intentions, humility, and honesty. In the best pastors, their work flows out of their personal faith, and that's what we experienced in Eileen. You may have seen this meme floating around the internet, "Dear God, I'm doing the best I can," Frank. Jesus called his followers to have faith like a child. I think that is the wisdom of humility, of self-awareness, of trust. I appreciate how Eileen both modeled that kind of faith and also called it out in us. As co-pastors, we've been colleagues and friends, and occasionally we've had the chance to be pastor to each other. So on the days whenever I would come into the office complaining about the everyday stresses of life, the lack of sleep, the seasonal depression of winter, the weight of having a perfect spouse and perfect children and pastoring all of these perfect people in our church, Eileen would respond to my whinging in various ways. But the message was usually some form of, it's okay to be tired or stressed or overwhelmed. What you're doing is hard, and you're bringing your best to it. And that will be enough. Life is hard, and what you're doing matters. That's my paraphrase, but that's usually where Eileen led me. And of course, we've seen Eileen model that as well. She's very aware of her shortcomings, no pun intended. Maybe a little bit of pun intended. Eileen's aware of her flaws, and yet she gave us her best, truly. In the gift of wholehearted presence, as I said earlier, and also in knowing when to step back and ask for help, even when to step away and let others carry the burden. After Eileen's ex-husband died last fall, she took a leave of absence from work. She recognized that there was stuff to do here, but she needed time to grieve and to process. And rather than just putting her head down and pushing through, she stopped for a while, rested, let others carry her burdens so that she could get what she needed. A lesson in trust. One that more of us could dare to follow. In a world of cynicism and sarcasm and judgment, Eileen has faithfully showed up with sincerity, with self-awareness, and again, with trust. One more, the gift of curiosity and wonder. As pastors, we spend a lot of time thinking and talking about people, some of you people. And as you know, people can leave a lot of room for interpretation. And that empty space between us can be filled with anxiety. Well, what did she mean by that comment about my sermon? Why did he say no to that committee request? That's not what I expected. That email reply was really short and terse. Did I say something wrong? Or my favorite, we haven't seen so-and-so at church in a while, and I left a message with them last week, but they never got back to me. Are they out of town? Are they taking a break from church? Did I miss their reply? Are they so offended that I didn't reach out sooner and now they're angry with me and going to leave the church forever and their friends are all angry with me too and they're going to leave as well and soon the whole church will be gone and it'll all be my fault? Pastor brain can go all kinds of places when you're sitting alone in an empty church on a Thursday morning. I could always count on Eileen to pull me back from that edge. Sometimes she joined me there for a little while first. But she would find a gentle and kind way to say, whatever is happening, it's probably not all about you. Taking the edge off of that anxiety by bringing curiosity and caring interest to the conversation. Well, I wonder what's going on for them. I heard they had family in town. I think this might be the first time they've gotten together since their mother died. That must be a difficult transition for them. That kind of thing. Eileen has held a lot of those details about our congregation, held them not just as information, but as a window into what might be going on under the surface. The complexities of life that make it impossible to know what's really going on with other people. As pastor, Eileen has leaned into that space between, has leaned into the uncertainty as an opportunity to think well of others. I think maybe that's what church is, that church at our best is simply the commitment to thinking the best of each other. I love how Father Greg Boyle describes his community, seeking a compassion that can stand in awe at what others have to carry, rather than standing in judgment at how they carried it. Eileen has modeled that kind of compassionate wonder for us, in sermons, asking good questions, in congregational prayers of hope and encouragement, in the hospitality and open arms of friendship. That is what wholehearted trust looks like, in presence, in sincerity, and in wonder. Eileen, I suspect you know that you have not been a perfect pastor, and I hope that you trust that we never asked you to be perfect. You have given your whole heart to this community, trusting in our God, trusting in us, and trusting in yourself. In this, you have been a tree of life here among the wildwoods, and we are grateful. Thank you. Eileen, I'll invite you to join me at the front. The minister's manual that we pastors use for special occasions like this one has lots of words for commissioning and installing people and things. If you want to step over here as we... Got the stage management just right.
You told me this before, I don't follow orders very well.
And she acknowledged that she should be used to me bossing her around by now, too. The minister's manual does not have words for uninstalling a pastor or decommissioning anyone, so I did the logical thing and took the readings for the commissioning ritual and reverse engineered them for this purpose. So we will take the installation instructions and work backwards. Simply put, Eileen, you have been gifted and called to this role as pastor, and today we name and celebrate that you have been faithful to your calling and have carried this good work to its completion. I invite you all to join me in a reading. I will first have some questions for Eileen, and then there will be a group reading part at the end for you all to join in. I will tell you when it's your turn. Eileen Clausen, our congregation has recognized that God has given you gifts and skills for the spiritual care of the church. We are grateful for your gift of service among us in this role. In reflection upon this calling, have you been faithful to your commitment to Jesus Christ and his service and to the Word of God as guide and authority for your life?
With God's help, I have done my best.
Have you kept your covenant together with this congregation to fellowship in worship, study, service, and discipline, to giving and receiving counsel, to offering and accepting forgiveness, and to participation in the mission of the church?
With God's help, I've done my best.
Have you committed yourself to caring for the spiritual health of our church family, to leading as you listen for the voice of God among us, and to listening, speaking, and growing together in love?
With God's help, I've done my best.
Please stand and raise a hand as you are able and join in reading the congregational response. Having heard God's call and bearing witness to your commitment, in gratitude for your faithfulness, we release you from the work as pastor. We are thankful for the support and leadership you have offered to our church, and we'll do our part to carry this work forward with God's help and grace. Well done, good and faithful servant. May you enter into the rest of retirement, come what may, at peace in the knowledge of a vocation fulfilled with all of your heart. Again, God, we are grateful for the love that you show us through our church family. In the love and the care that Eileen has so freely offered to our church, you have been present. As we release Eileen to her retirement, we place her and ourselves in your care. Amen. You may be seated. Now that we've blessed and prayed for you, Eileen, we ask if you will once again bless us and pray for us.
And now I invite you to join me in prayer. Creator of life and all that is, we consider this morning how we are bound to one another, how we are united in faith. This length of chain that ties us to our loves, our children, parents, partners, and friends, an unbreakable bonding of commitment and devotion, yet sometimes causing frustration and fatigue, stress and sleepless nights. We consider this length of chain that at times becomes tangled, that comes between us and those we love, causing friction and tension, disagreement and dissent, keeping us apart. This length of chain that at times lays in a heap of uncertainty, of instability, insecurity, or vulnerability, unsure of anything the future holds. This length of chain that weighs us down with burdens heavy, surrounding the place where family and friends are buried, a tangle of emotions and grief not fully mourned. May this length of chain, Creator God, because of its uncertainty and complexity, be a connective and sure binding of you with us, a linking of us with each other, a burden lightened when it is shared. May it be a gentle and tender daisy chain, drawing together in humility and mutual love, in compassion and understanding. May it strengthen and build up, creating growth and reaching new heights. May it be life-giving in its connection, supportive, caring, praying, learning, combining skills and creativity, generosity and goodwill, bringing your kingdom to this earth. Creator of life and all that is, as this congregation discerns and moves ahead, may this chain that so strongly connects be a love chain of joy and hope, of grace and peace, a long and winding chain of blessing on these, your people, in this place. Amen.